Powerhouse Episode 10, Le Tao, the Healing Kingdom and the Subject of Spirituality. So I have something interesting for you guys today. You know, it's 2020, New Year, in Western culture. And then also in January, right now we have a New Year here in China, Year of Rat. And then somebody very, very interesting show up in my life. One of the clients of the gym and the same time right now the friend, Le Tao, open an interesting conversation between us about understanding of reality and how we can interpret the past, the future, and also how we can learn from all those informations, what comes from us, from also different angles. And Le Tao has a really interesting look on this. His journey, it's long. His journey is good. His journey is interesting. It's something, something different. And I hope you will enjoy it the same time I enjoy that. So, ladies and gentlemen, Le Tao. Good. Yep. So, welcome. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Powerhouse. Today we have Le Tao. We mentioned something about happiness before. If you can just kind of like refresh your name.
Right.
Yeah, what was because you mentioned
is. Oh, yeah. So my name is Le Tao.
How you spell it?
It's L-E. T-A-O. It's actually a very unique Chinese name. Le means happiness and Tao means to cultivate. So, you know, cultivate personality, you know, characters, you know, to nurture something. Mm-hmm. So that's a name actually given by my mother. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's her wishes for me. Yeah.
Do you think it's just like people live to their names or the names they are kind of like adding something to them? If there's like some type of connection?
Mm. Well, It started as the wish from the parents, right? So your parents will give you a name because they have certain wishes for you when you were born, and when you leap through your life, and usually you wouldn't think about that, right? I mean, when we're little, you never think of why is my name Le Tao or why is your name Mac, right? And people don't think about that, but when you grow older and you realize that okay, actually there are certain things that are in my name that is reflected through how I live my life. I think so. Yeah, but what is your name common?
I was born in Poland. Uh-huh. So we have some rules and regulations regarding what kind of names you can give, and especially I grew up Catholic, so you need to like choose from the names from the Bible. Mm. So yeah, so it's one of the some guys from the Bible.
Okay.
The half of my family is Jewish. The second one was converted to Catholicism.
Okay,
and so something about a God, but I was not like, I was raised Catholic, but I stopped in some way to just start up like just, you know, less like you have your religion and you believe in one God and,
right.
And later just believing less. I don't know. I'm kind of, you know, it's interesting subject because, like the books and heroes what I growing up was like it was called Five Horsemen. So it was Hitchens, Sam Harris, there was a lot of about Darwinism, you know those kind of stuff. And as somebody who come from the side of the family who are really into science, you know, it's kind of struggle understanding religion and the science. So but it's but that's the reason we have this kind of meeting.
Yeah,
because I want to talk to you about a spirituality. You know, from the personal point of view. The conversation what I have in the past and I want to continue is to introduce people who exist, but at the same time they represent more than people expecting. You know, and then you are in some way
we don't really know each other long, but it's when you mention about what you do for the people, you helping them.
Yeah.
I just want to, you know, always say thank you to anybody who helped somebody, because you usually, you know, because you've people comes to you for hundreds of different reasons.
Yeah. Right.
And for somebody for me who've X amount of the time switch from, you know, different industry what I do to this, the place of help.
Right.
Because, you know, some type of strategy in my past.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I just want to, you know, have this opportunity to be in some way a teacher and a healer. I don't want to take this, you know, names on me,
right,
but at the same time I know we need more help, we need more healers, we need more teachers.
Yeah
You know, so if, so can you like just a little bit of make bigger introductions, like, so for myself and for anybody who will be listening to this in the future.
So I usually I call myself a spiritual counselor. So what I do is I do spiritual counseling with clients in Hong Kong, and then mainly the method that I use to do counseling is through astrology and tarot and other type of divinational tools. It is actually, you know, a lot of people have you know, they have different ideas and opinions about what spiritual counseling is. I've got a lot of questions from people who come to me for the first time, and they ask me if I'm a fortune teller. Well, some people prefer to call me that, but it's actually not really not fortune. Exactly the same.
Because a fortune teller, it's automatically you making assumption. Just this one dimension, and at the same time, I think it's making this kind of picture about a person who thinking this is what they need.
Right.
I need the fortune.
Exactly. Yeah.
And later you need to ask yourself, okay, can you give me this definition? What is fortune for you?
Your fortune
is a health. Mm-hmm. Its fortune is a dollar sign. What is the fortune? You know.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So people. So that is a very, you know, interesting misinterpretation of what spiritual counseling is. And basically, from my point of view, what I do for clients is during the session, the first thing is I analyze the client's tendencies. So we all have our history, our past, and our the tendencies that we tend to do certain things and behave or react to certain situations. And when we go through life, and there are certain important events that we will meet with, and then either that could be a challenge, that could be something really difficult in terms of, you know, could be physically difficult, could be emotionally difficult, mentally difficult. And how do we actually tap into our psychology so to react to those events, and so that we can actually find the best solution to things? And that's eventually what my session is about. Now, of course, there's a part of it, you know, it's sometimes, you know, I would make predictions for clients, but the prediction is more based on the client's tendencies. Mm-hmm. So a client is, for example, a very typical question clients will ask me is about their career development. And my session is not really about telling the clients, okay, so you're going to change jobs in 2 years, you know, it's not really about that. And I don't know either, to be honest. And my energy is to look at what they are doing at this moment. And then I will look at the alignment of the stars, right? So how the stars are moving based on their natal chart, which is the alignment of the stars when they were born. I'll look at that. And according to there are certain theories in astrology.
So there is some type of cycles?
Cycles, yeah.
Okay.
So, and you look at that, and also based on numerology, it's the same. It's also based on your birthday. So look at the numbers.
So what do you want to, I'm sorry for interrupting.
Yeah.
That's mean those cycles will in some way repeat. So kind of like when you say like history have a tendency to repeat.
Exactly. Because we do, because I'm sure, you know, you have that, you have experienced things like when you go into a certain situation and, for example, we make some mistakes, right? Mm-hmm. We do something that is wrong and we really, oh shit, I totally did that before.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is not the second time I'm doing this and this is so bad, right? So that's it, life itself is a repeated pattern. And then the successful ones, they learn their past lessons and they know how to actually change, bring constructive transformation.
So they can technically, so if there is a cycles who are existing for them in the stars, they can even go faster through it?
They can make adjustments. So it's a little bit like, I give an analogy. It's a little bit like growing a plant. Let's mm-hmm. say you have a pot of plant, right? The seed is what you're born with. So yeah. everyone is that seed, right? Mm-hmm. And we're all, some people, they were born in a rich family. You know, they mm-hmm. somehow they were blessed with a lot of things. Some people were not. You know, they yeah. might have a very dysfunctional family, you know, mm-hmm. alcoholic mother, whatever that is. So the seed is different. But what we grow up, the experience and the personal effort that we're mm-hmm. making is sort of like how you water them, how to fertilize yeah. them. So eventually we can all become amazing trees, you know,
yeah, right course, out there. Yeah.
But it mm-hmm. depends on what each other's challenges are and what they need to.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so that's exactly what my session is about, to actually let, sort of like looking into a mirror. Actually, I have clients saying that to me. Mm-hmm. A client said to me, she said, I feel your session is like forcing me to look into the mirror, to yeah. look at myself, and so that I become more aware, self-aware.
Yeah, reflections about yeah. himself, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. And that is what makes the, going back to the first topic mm-hmm. that you mentioned about happiness, is that gives me the fulfillment in my career.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people, I think, so see this in the, when we were talking in the beginning,
yeah, it's yeah, yeah.
in the religion, because you have those kind of like rituals, mm, you know, mm. when you're like, if you are a Catholic at the end of the day, you know, you knee,
yeah.
you know, start playing, you're going through the day,
yeah,
you know, what
yeah.
I did wrong, what I did this, and you just kind of, so you're doing this kind of daily reflection, but you're staying in your head.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. yeah sometimes maybe you only have this opportunity to go to confession, you know,
yeah,
and you're
yeah.
facing the priest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah
and
yeah.
The, and I think it's like, depends what kind of priest you have. Maybe
they'll yeah, yeah.
just tell you something else,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
maybe
yeah.
they'll give you some extra notes, and sometimes we'll just say, I don't know.
I think actually religion, mm-hmm. you know, to be honest, spirituality never denies anything else, to be honest. I mean, we have never denied the religion. We wouldn't deny science. The one thing that I realized about religion is that it can be very helpful, like yeah. what you said mm-hmm. in that way. But there's one thing about religion is very structured.
Mm-hmm.
It has a lot of rules.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it, of course, it depends on what type of religion you're talking
yeah.
about.
Mm-hmm.
Some religions are more like philosophy, for example,
yeah.
Buddhism. See, mm-hmm. Buddhism does not have that as many rules as
yeah.
some religions.
Mm-hmm.
Some religions, they will set a very strong and strict structure for people to live by.
So mm-hmm. So can I make this kind of assumption? Somebody mm-hmm. can live through their life and they don't even know, but they are Buddhists?
Of course.
Really?
Of course, yeah. Because
no way.
Because Buddhism is like it's a Chinese philosophy, actually.
Uh-huh.
It started in Tibet, you know, in the
yeah.
in mm-hmm. that part of the region. But Buddhism is not, well, of course, every religion has rules, but Buddhism is more about, it's very philosophical. It's about, you know, appreciating the nature. It's a mm-hmm. looking and finding the relationship between human and the nature.
Okay.
It's a little bit like spirituality, because basically what spirituality is essentially about is to find the mm-hmm. relationship between us, this physical being,
mm-hmm.
and the higher power, or you call that the universe or the cosmos.
Universe.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's the relationship between us, and how do we go through life and understand the energy actually yeah. around us. But religion is more set rules rather mm-hmm. than that. I think this is a slight difference. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause yeah. like, you know, we're going through the life, and mm-hmm. we want to achieve something.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then, we're looking for the answers,
mm-hmm.
Somewhere. How did you start with this?
Oh God, that's a very long story. Okay, so that has to start. I was also interested in listening to your opinion about this. You know, earlier you said, you know, to offer help to people, right, and
mm-hmm.
things like that. I think there's a very essential element in becoming a counselor, or becoming like what you, whether mm-hmm. you call that a healer or what, is that you have to be wounded first. You have to go through all the traumas and, mm-hmm. and difficulties, and you have to feel that, oh, I don't, there's either a loss of your own sense of, you know, belonging, or you mm-hmm. feel that you know, there are difficulties in life. You have to understand the pain in life, and then you can understand other people's pain. A people who has never, you know, experience this kind of you know, traumatic experience in life, it's very difficult for them to feel what other people feel. And I think that's the first thing. So when I, before I started, you know, this, I was, you know, same as you, I worked in different industries. You know, I was in finance, I was in commercial trading, I was also in IT. I tried all different kind of jobs, but I was very, very mediocre. And I hated about that part of me being mediocre. Because there was something in my mind saying, there's something for me to excel at.
Yeah.
But I didn't know what that was. So I followed what the society wanted, what my parents wanted. So my parents wanted me to, you know, put on a suit, go to the bank and, you know, be a banker, whatever. And I did
that. Because those jobs was created X amount of the time, and in, and you have this fulfillment, but always new jobs, new opportunity coming. And the question is like, what we can do?
Yeah, well, new opportunities is actually, yes, it's one thing. And the other thing is, sometimes we have intuition, right? And sometimes we know that whether this works for me or not. But at that time, because I was totally, I was actually in my early 20s after school, and I had no idea what I wanted to do. And what I think it was around my, you know, maybe 22 or 23, I was living in Sydney, Australia. And
so you were 22 living in
Australia, in Sydney.
But you are not originally from Australia.
No. I was actually, I moved to Australia actually at the age of 22.
22. And before that?
Before that, I was in Japan.
Japan.
So I was in Tokyo and from 17 until 21, yeah.
And before 17?
And before that, from 12 until 16, I was in Beijing to do my high school. That was my high school time.
And before Beijing?
That, 6 to 12, I was in Japan again, you know, to do my, well, for elementary school, you know.
And before Japan?
Back in Beijing again. You know?
Okay.
But that was born in Beijing, yeah.
Oh, you're, so you're originally from Beijing.
Yeah. So my parents are Chinese, So where was I? So you know, I was doing all those jobs, right? And I was feeling very, very unhappy. You know, I was earning money, and you know, you go out, you know, go out to have fun, you know, party and whatever that is. But there's also a part of me feeling that just something that is lacking, and I was extremely unhappy to the point that I actually got very depressed. So when I was talking to a good friend of mine, I said, I haven't found what I want to do, and I'm already, you know, around this age. And my friend said, he had a very different, you know, point of view on that. He said, do you know that 90% of the population, they don't do what they love for a profession?
Yes.
And he said, that's normal. He said, if you have that high, you know, ideal about you have to fulfill your calling in life, he said, that might take a long time. Some people never find it in their lifetime.
Yeah.
My reaction was, I understand that, but no, I need to find my calling, you know, there's something, no, I need to, because I didn't believe that the reason why my mother gave birth to me was to let me be mediocre and just, you know, go through every day, pay my rent and just, so, and then my, when I was in Sydney, my my spiritual teacher actually.
So you had a spiritual teacher?
At the very beginning. So I met my teacher actually when I was in Sydney.
Okay.
But I was a client.
Yeah, but you were looking for him because you have those kind of feelings,
no,
or it's
serendipity, completely serendipity. It was, I walked into his shop out of nothing. I was walking down the street. I didn't really know what I wanted. I was walking down the street.
So it's like the middle of the week after the work. It's like,
yeah, after, well, I was still in graduate school at that time.
Oh, so you were at school still?
Yeah, I was still in school. You know, and you know, earlier when I was saying that I was confused about, you know, work, and that was after that. That was after, yeah. So I met my spiritual teacher first, actually, when I was, I think, 22 or 23. And I was a client, and he said, you know, do you want to do a reading? I said, what is a reading? You know, because I've never done one. And he did one for me, and I didn't really believe it. And I was thinking, you know, well, 50% makes sense, 50% didn't, but, you know, thank you very much. So I paid him, I left. But it was very funny, because after 3 months, a lot of things he said came true. And I felt a bit weird about this, so I went back to him again, and I said, I want to do another reading, right? And so again, 50% he said made a lot of sense, 50% I don't see myself doing that. But again, after sort of 4 months, a lot of things came, you know, it came true as well. So I started to feel there's something weird about it, and I so I it became, you know, quite interested. And also one thing that he did was, I loved his cars. So when he was doing the spread, what I see actually in front of me, it was all based in the Roman and the Greek mythology. And I was looking at those gods and goddesses in front of me, something was pulling me, something was attracting me. And to the point that, you know, one day, you know, he actually said to me, he said, I think you're talented, you should learn about this. And as you know, when you have Chinese parents, it's very difficult to really take this seriously because, you know, they want you to be a banker, be a lawyer, whatever mm-hmm. that is, right? And so I was, after graduation, you know, after graduate school, I worked in banks and stuff like mm-hmm. that, and I was never fulfilled. And at the age of 28 or 29, I think it was 29, so basically after school for 3 to 4 years, I was confused, like what I told you, right? Yeah. I was thinking, you know, what I'm gonna do, you know? And at the age of 29, I realized that, this is what I need to do. Because I realized the fulfillment and the happiness you mm-hmm. mentioned really struck me when I felt I was able to help people.
Yeah.
And a lot of the consultations that I had with clients, I could see myself in them. Mm-hmm. The difficulties that they went through in their childhood and things uh-huh. like that. So that's when it just clicked in my mind. And mm-hmm. so I've been doing this for now, until now, so it's been 7 years actually. It's so fulfilling.
Yeah.
Not even the moment that I doubted. Of mm-hmm. course, it's never easy, right? It's very difficult. And sometimes clients come to me and they cry. So in my studio, I've got a big box of tissue there.
Yes.
And clients come here, either it's about their relationships problems, mm-hmm. about their career problems, their unresolvable issues with their parents. You know, mm-hmm. they had a, you know, really toxic relationship with their mother or father, mm-hmm. things like that. And people would cry. And it's never, it's a very emotional job, to be honest, because you have to tune in the people's emotion and mm-hmm. understand them. So you have to be sensitive enough to people's feelings. And that's the difficult part, the challenging part, but it's very fulfilling when you actually see them for the second time, when they come back to you, mm-hmm. you see them getting better. That's a bless, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. I believe you feel the same, right? I mean, when you
come to people. It's like, you know, for me, why I moved to because before I was doing real estate, land development, and then, you know, coming from the, communistic Poland, you know, moving to US with the American dream, you know, and $700 in the pocket, you know, this kind of stuff. And at the same time, you have this, you mentioned about Asian parents, you know, try to polish or like, I think this is universal, parents, you know, and then, so the same, I was following the path where you think you're supposed to go.
Yeah.
And it's nothing wrong with this path, you know. Like I've, you know, my sister was, you know, it's a woman who's just, she always want to have a family and it's just for her work, career, anything is just the extra. It's just the extra, the home, the households, be a mother. This is what's fulfilling her, you know?
So
maybe there is a difference between the genders. I don't know. I'm not the expert, but it's like, for me, it was the strategy what happened with my dad and his health,
right?
Who kind of bring me to this place, like, maybe I can be somebody who can teach people and stay people healthy, so nobody will lose somebody too soon.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Because it's kind of like this strategy of when the parents needs to bury their own son,
right?
Or, you know, you as a kid or teenager or adult losing the family members, you know, you know, it's painful. So if we can keep the people as long healthy as possible, I'm like, if I can help in some way, and I'm like, you know, let's try it. you know, and the same time, you know, I was reading some stuff, and I was always reading we're living in a society, healthcare is so expensive, we'll never have enough doctors. So I'm like, why not build a society when there would be not enough sick people, so every doctor will be just have an empty office and just like, shit.
No patients.
No patients, because everybody is just healthy, you know?
Right.
So that's my approach, and it's like
Around what time did you realize that you want to do this as a profession? As a fitness coach.
I was always in the health and fitness. You know, I was in some way, I was always helping people how they're supposed to eat and how they're supposed to exercise. But I never was thinking like, let's just jump and make this on the bigger scale. Because my background is computer science and economics. I like business. Like economics. I like philosophy. I like, you know, I like IT. I'm a geek. But I like lifting weights, you know, and keep my body healthy. And it's when I was before, like in the office, it's just like skipping on the desk, you know, for so many hours. It's just like, this is not,
that's not,
this
not
is
you.
Not a lifestyle. Yeah. And it's just, and it's like, now we know it's, you know, regular jobs don't really exist. You know, people will be losing the future of jobs to robots, know?
Yeah.
And it just, and it's people looking for this connection. Mm-hmm. And it's maybe that's the reason, you know, mental health right now get named as the highest priority in US regarding, you know, what next. And it's just, you know, we're looking for those answers. And before, you know, and it's still, you know, religion, it's a bigger element, but it's spirituality, and we need to understand, you know, yoga movement is ginormous.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I feel, and I feel like there's some type of connections.
Absolutely,
Between that, you know.
This, it's a huge, you know, absolutely, because we're all focusing on different things, but the final purpose is always, you know, everything, you know, will stream together to one person. That's about, you know, being healthy. And being happy, right? and that's we've always come back to this word and you know, find our happiness. And I think one of the things about looking for happiness is we have to have the courage to really face what is difficult and what is the pain actually in there. And once we can face it, then we will know, okay, then I, first of all, I accept it and I acknowledge it. And at a later stage, then we will find solutions to deal with that. Yeah. Actually, that started at a very young age, I mean, for me, because I think for me, like, for example, a lot of people ask me, you know, oh, would you like to go back to the past, you know, when you were younger? Actually, I never wanted to, because my childhood was actually not happy at all. And I felt that I never really belonged to whatever class or group that I was in. Actually, not, well, maybe in a way, there was a part of me that I felt my value system is very different from the people around me. And I'm sure you felt that too when you were younger, especially when we're younger, you know, there's a sense of us just feeling, it's
like kids bully.
Yeah, bully, yeah. Kids, yeah, you know, kids can be really mean. Yeah,
yeah.
They're bullies and so I don't know how you feel.
Do you think kids still bully?
Absolutely. You know, bullying is a huge thing in Japan, actually. In
Yeah.
Kids will commit suicide because they're bullied in school.
Yeah.
People, actually, kids, they try to kill. They, actually, there were kids dying, you know, in Japan. So, and there was on the news and everything. And the school headmaster had to come out to apologize to the parents and whatever. You know, it's just a huge social problem. And so even for kids, you know, having a healthy, you know, environment for them to know that. Because when I was little, I had this really weird relationship with myself. I had a love and hate relationship with my.
Do you have siblings?
No.
No?
Oh, no.
So.
See, I love my uniqueness. I love myself being, you know, I want to be who I am. But also because there are a lot of the moment when I feel, oh, but I have to follow the structure. I have to follow who everyone else is. And that makes me hate myself because I feel I wish I could fit in more. You know, so that's a very kind of like a weird feeling.
But fit to what? Because if you technically, like, I don't know, born in South Africa will be a little different than Japan, a little bit than Russia, a little bit than you know, Mexico, you know?
So. Definitely, you know, what, I'm talking about elementary school. So 6 to 12, when I was in Beijing, and that was definitely, And also, to be honest, in high school.
Big school?
Sorry?
Big school?
Well, we had, I mean, 42 students in one class.
42 students. Yeah. How does... So, okay, 42 students, one teacher.
One teacher, 42
What time did you guys start?
I think 8?
8 a.m.?
Yeah, 8 a.m. Yeah. And we finished.
Heavy backpack?
Oh, super heavy.
How many books?
Oh my God. I can't even, but I remember it was so heavy that, but the thing is, you know, you're already used to it, right? So you don't think it's heavy. But there was one time, I think is my mother or someone tried to lift my bag. And my mother said, you carry this much every day? That's crazy. And I said, but I thought this is normal. But it was heavy, yeah. So, I don't know.
So, yeah, like you start at 8 a.m., you finish what time?
I don't remember. I mean, in primary school, I think we were maybe 4:30, 5. Yeah, yeah. Because you have to, because if I remember, At 6 p.m., they're usually a cartoon on the TV, okay. And I will try to get home by 6 to watch cartoons.
What kind of cartoon did you watch?
Well, a lot of Japanese cartoons, Japanese. Actually.
So yeah. In Beijing, you watch the Japanese cartoon.
Because
yeah. you are half Japanese,
no?
Like,
No, my parents are both Chinese.
Both Chinese.
Yeah, but yeah. My father, when I was little, my father had a lot of business
with
the Japanese. Mm-hmm. So I was very influenced by Japanese culture at a very young age.
Before I was working for Disney, and we have a lot of Japanese artists.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
they were amazing with the sculpture and amazing with the with the painting. Uh-huh. And it's when we got the project in Beijing, some of them just like, yeah, we're not going to just.
They have a lot of.
Well, I remember when I lived in Macau in 2013, there was like a big like daily, weekly protest all the time regarding some type of, you know, attack for some islands. Because I think so, they're still in the war.
Senkaku Islands. It's a group of islands near Taiwan. Well, I mean, you're Polish, so you understand the history.
Grow up on this.
Right. So
that's the reason I like this kind of stuff.
So of course, you know, in elementary, I mean, the Chinese government put a lot of pressure in the education, you know, sector, because they want their kids to really understand what happened during the Second World War. Uh-huh. And there's a lot of.
Do you think they're telling the truth? No. In some way,
I think they are telling the truth, but I think what they're doing is they're okay. So we have truth here. Okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, part of the truth is a right. It's a good truth. Part of the truth is a negative truth.
Yeah.
But they are all truths.
Yeah.
But what Chinese government did at that time was they only focused on the negative truths. People never learned about the good things about Japan.
Yeah.
So the bad things, they're all true. But if you don't know the good things about them, then you will think this is an evil country, right? Mm-hmm. Now, because I still remember when I was very, very young, 9 years old, right? You were in the third grade in elementary school, and that's we're kids, you know? And the school would have this kind of like, compulsory trip to visit the War Museum.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, the War Museum, there are a lot of really, really gruesome photos.
Oh yeah, don't tell me. They sent us to Auschwitz.
A real man?
Yeah, there was like a element of the Polish education.
But the problem is, I don't think children around that age should see it. Yeah. I think maybe people should learn that maybe in middle school. After maybe they reach 15, they can learn that kind of history. Because at 9 years old, when you let them see those kind of things, it's traumatic.
Exactly.
Because
technically you are still not developed even understanding the feelings what you have.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think so maybe understanding the base first before you see the visual elements, what it's, you know, anger, stupidity, and politics can do together.
Because that's very, very political, actually. Because, you know, in 1989...
War, yeah, of course.
In 1989, there was the 6-4, right?
Yeah.
The Tiananmen Square incident. Mm-hmm. And so after that, actually before 1989, China and Japan had great relationships.
Yeah.
You know, China would send, you know, pandas to Japan and gifts and all that. And it was great. And because what happened in 1989, so Chinese government realized that they need to cultivate this sense of nationalism in people so that they would not go against them. So they, in education, they put a lot of, so the only way for them to do that is to convert this sense of who is your enemy to foreign forces. So don't hate us, hate foreigners, right? That's your real enemy. So that's why education became like that.
Yeah.
But when I was little, because, you know, I was exposed to Japanese culture quite a lot, so I understood what, you know, of course, you know, around that age I was confused about, but the school says, you know, it's like this, but, you know, when I'm looking in Japan, it's different. But then when I studied in Japan, you also learn the history taught in Japan, and that's also very biased.
Yeah.
So you see both, and then you realize, okay, so basically everything has a political agenda behind
In some way.
Nobody is, you know, so, you know, like a god, you know, telling you everything true and justified. Nobody is like that. Everyone will write
history. Do you think in some way spirituality needs to be involved in the kids' educations?
That's a very good question, actually. I think maybe spirituality needs to I think it's important for people to know that it exists. And it
even is, like, an element of emotion. I don't think so. Like, I don't remember if I, you know, you going through the school and you talk about it, all different type of subjects, but you don't talk about emotions.
No. There's no, especially in, in China it's the same, I think.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, they try to deny the personal feelings and things like that, and that's not a very good thing. I think, to be honest, I think, you know, being a, you know, if your profession is related to spirituality, it's actually, especially for me, being a spiritual counselor, it's actually a very difficult profession to develop, because at a very young age, people tend to be taught by school to not believe in it. So when you are living in the society where everyone at a very young age are being educated to stay away from it, and then you are trying to make it a career with good intention, it's extra challenge. It's because you have to, this has just happened recently, and I was a little bit, maybe I was being overly sensitive about this. I don't know if you have ever seen a video on YouTube. It was very, very, it was a great project called the Scaled Solar System.
Okay.
It's three guys in California. They basically made a scaled solar system. So they wanted to tell people how actually how vast the universe is. So for example, they will have a small, like a ball like this, right? So they say this is the size of the Earth. And they will actually show you how far the moon would be. A lot of things, if people think if this is the Earth, the moon should be here, right?
Yeah.
It's not, it's actually here.
Okay.
Right. So they made this whole scaled solar system with the sun would be this big and the Uranus and Neptune would be miles away. You know?
Yeah.
And it was a fascinating video and I loved it. I think what he did was amazing. So I sent him an email. His name is Willie Overstreet. It's amazing, you know, a genius idea. And I emailed him and I was asking him if I could, you know, write about, you know, his project in my blog because I think it's amazing. And I told them, you know, him who I was. And he said, you know, you're very welcome to write this. But he said, you have to put one extra thing in the blog. I said, what? And he said, you have to add one extra question, which is, do you believe in astrology? And I will answer. And you have to put that in your blog. Then you have my permission to put it. Okay, so give me your answer. So his answer was basically, he was basically just saying that this is all bullshit. So that's very, so I got very disheartened. I felt, you know, I'm doing an astrology blog, but you want me to write, because I want to promote your project, because I think that's great, but you are actually telling me that, you know, this is...
The astrology.
Yeah.
So can I ask you what was his answer about what is astrology?
His answer?
Yeah.
Well, he didn't really answer that. He just, actually, I'll show you. You know, because I thought he did this amazing, amazing project. So he said, do you believe in astrology? This is his answer. No, I don't believe in astrology. Well, I admire it for having good intentions. It promotes a very false understanding of the universe and its forces. And this understanding hooks in people's minds by giving them comfort from the unknown and a sense of cosmic importance. This prevents people from ever learning the true astonishing beauty and grandeur of the universe, and in turn prevents my answer for number three. Astrology was born in an age when our wonder at the heavens had no scientific method to guide it. So we used it to help us to help free us from our fear of the unknown and our desire to feel central and important. Blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
So, and I think I haven't replied to him, but I think the point that I'm trying to make here is,
but he knows it's like his project is his astrological project.
No, it's a astronomy project.
Yeah.
So I guess the point that I want to make here is, science and astrology are not contradicting each other.
Yeah.
We are not denying science, and we are not saying, okay, we think there's a higher force there, that's why every scientific research that we have made is bullshit. No, why can't they coexist?
Yeah.
Because they are talking about different things. When we are doing science, we're looking at what, okay, let's say, how far is Venus from us, and what's the orbit, you know, the time, and what is it composed of? Is it methane? Is it, you know, CO2? Is it whatever that is?
Yeah.
It has its purpose in our human society. But astrology, it belongs to a completely different realm, and we're not using that to deny science. We're using that to help people to go through their psychological journey. So they have their different functions, I think.
Yeah.
So that's actually a lot of people don't understand, including people come to me, they are very, you know, religious people, and they come to me, they say, oh, I believe in you know, my Christian God or whatever, that's why I don't think I should do a reading. And you know, which is fine, but my understanding is, why do you have to pick one?
Yeah.
Why does it have to be one's philosophy that you believe in, and anything else has to be false? Mm-hmm. It's not about that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I don't know if you get a chance. There's an awesome movie right now on Netflix.
Yeah.
The Two Popes.
Oh yeah, yeah. You have heard of it?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did you see it?
No, I haven't. But I heard a lot of interesting
but
things about
it. It's really, really, really interesting angle.
Yeah.
You know, from the like historical point of view.
Right.
Amazing, you know, acting, but also like understanding is like this is just two people being in this very, very specific situation in their lives, doing something what they don't even know what they're doing exactly.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, in some way, and it was an interesting like conversation when there's one pope ask another pope. It's like this one guy. It's like questions like. Can you smoke when you pray? Can you smoke?
Oh yeah, I've heard that. Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
There's the German Pope like just said, no, you cannot smoke when you. Yeah, it's like no, like this is the element of action. So when you're smoking, can you pray? And he's like, yeah. So it's like the action is still the same. So it's like
it's a perception.
I think we're going through the life, and sometimes you know maybe you can just. Attached to those stereotypes and it's
absolutely.
When it's working for somebody and it doesn't harm anybody, I think so it's fine. But it's like, you know, the question is like which way you go. Like I don't even remember the book called A Secret. You know, when it show up on the market.
Yeah,
I remember I lived at the time in US.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting the homes different type of friends, colleagues, you know, clients, and everybody have their vision board. You know, like okay, you build your vision board.
Yeah.
Okay, what next? Mm-hmm. Because the book was showing something,
right?
And they read this book, they did everything what this book said,
right?
And they were thinking this is over.
Yeah.
And I think so. Life is not over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even somebody who like. Finish your reading, you know, because he finished this reading, it's not over of the work what this person needs
absolutely,
to do.
Absolutely.
So at the same time, you know, it's in any type of field where we are, like we are achieving something and it's like, okay, we're achieving, but the life is a journey.
Yeah.
And it's the question is like, when you want to unplug, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, what are you looking for? You know, because it's once again, we came back to the same place.
Yeah.
The happiness
and
the health
and
the same one you said on the beginning, fortune teller.
What is the
fortune? So I have this one question I always ask my guests. It's like if you get an opportunity to put like big billboard, you know, some type of advertisement, I don't know, online reach, whatever, will reach as many people as possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what kind of message you will put on this billboard?
Okay, that's a very interesting question. Let me think about that. I'll get back to you about that, actually.
Yeah.
I need to think about it, actually.
Yeah.
Because I can't really think of just a slogan, actually, on the book, because I think there are so many different messages that I want to put out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult to put out one message to benefit everyone there, because everyone needs to hear different messages. For some people, maybe they need a message about you need to become more disciplined and more goal-oriented. For some people, they need to learn the opposite. They need to know that sometimes you need to relax and you need to learn how to show your vulnerability and show your compassion. For some people, it's about you need to find your independency in relationships. For some people, it's about you need to know how to be more cooperative in relationships.
Yeah.
So I think for me, it's difficult to have one message for everyone to benefit them. But I think the most important thing is we have to know that we all have different traits and we have different weaknesses, and we need to find the right prescription for us to find happiness in whatever that is, your career goals, your relationships, your friendship, your family. That's my answer for you.
Yeah, it's like interesting, like because in a period of time, you know, when I met you, and it's like, you know, it's like we work out together, you know, sweating
several
out
months ago.
How's training going?
I really like the current training program, to be honest. Yeah, yeah, because I feel I'm happier.
Yeah.
I was in with a different, you know, a fitness group. And it was a little bit too, it was not really my style, to be honest. And I got injured, you know, like that. And it prevented me from actually having a normal life, because when you get injured, you know, I was actually carried by ambulance once. I was not, also not careful.
Yeah, that was me last year for the Chinese New Year.
Yeah.
I got an anxiety attack.
Why?
I don't know, just life. I don't know.
Anxiety regarding what aspect?
I mean, no, I got I have some heart condition.
Sorry, what?
I have some heart condition.
Heart condition.
So it was a mix of the heart condition and then just anxiety.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe what you need to do is you need to go for a walk actually along the beach.
Yeah.
I don't know if I sense it. Are you a Taurus?
Yeah, I'm a Taurus.
Yeah, because
you want to do something to me?
No. I have a very strong feeling
because
what I know is you told me that you were born in 1979.
Yes.
That's the exact information you gave to me. And based on my understanding about you for this, I have a very strong feeling that maybe you're a Taurus. And
you're very good.
Yeah, for people born in 1979 as a Taurus, they do have anxiety issues actually. So what they need to do is there's a in astrology there's a thing called called the North Node, which is
what it's called?
North Node.
North?
North.
Like North.
Yeah. NORTH NORD. North Node. NODE. Yeah. This is the direction of the North Node of the Moon actually. But it doesn't matter. I mean, I don't want to get too technical about this.
No.
So this thing actually in everyone's natal chart is pointing at a direction where you will find fulfillment and happiness.
It's so interesting because it's some period of time. Because I like reading about this kind of subjects about you know, self education, you know, personal growth.
Yeah.
And then and it's always this element of the, you know, you need to find your North Star.
Yeah.
This is in some way
something it's connected, because North Node is actually very, very important. It gives us a sense of fulfillment, and we need to know what kind of qualities we must cultivate in ourselves. Now
You see what kind of quality we need to do?
We need to learn.
Okay.
And for you, your North Node is actually pointing at the constellation of Pisces. Now, Pisces is actually the constellation of knowing how to surrender ourselves to the cosmos. So this is the opposite of anxiety, because anxiety is about I need to have total control over everything. I need to know exactly this is going with my plans. This has to be like this. And that's why we have anxiety. Pisces is about knowing that, you know what, things are going to be well. It's going to go well. Sometimes you need to release that control and that mentality about I have to fix everything. And once you release that kind of control, the universe will guide you naturally towards the right path.
Yeah.
Now, this does not mean that we just stay at home and do nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
But Pisces is saying that sometimes when you are having an anxiety attack actually in you, you need to go to places close to water. And I think that's also the reason why you like Bali.
That's the reason I like, you know, when I live in Cali, that was the element. I just want to, you know, and the biggest happiness when I like live in Koran Del Mar, just next to the water. You wake up with this smell of the water.
Absolutely,
and it just you follow up like when the sleep and you just hear this.
Yeah, yeah. Because you
just
know,
pastel right away.
You know the shape. You know what Pisces is, right?
Yeah.
Pisces is two fish.
Yeah.
They swim in the opposite direction, and Pisces is ruled by Neptune, so Poseidon, the god of the ocean. So usually,
I'm an Aquaman. Yes, that's my new look.
Aquaman.
That's it.
Next year, Christmas party maybe or something.
I'm
like
done,
that.
Dude. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna build like 200 more pounds.
Yeah. So Pisces is water, you know. So usually, when you have anxiety, what I would recommend is you walk along the ocean. So usually water will help you dissolve your anxiety.
Yeah.
That's what usually.
Yeah. It's interesting. Cause like for a minute of some period of time, I met this this girl, a friend of mine, and like we were both going through some period of our lives, and it was just like we was meeting in the close to the pier, and it was just like
walk.
Thank you so much. Bye. Going home, sleep, or just
that's actually
stuff.
Good. Yeah. It's a type of self healing for you, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially for Taurus. towards 1979, they usually have a lot of nervous energy, especially for people who are born around, I would say, between the 10th and the 15th of May.
13, exactly in the middle.
You're 13th. In the middle? Okay. So that's actually, yeah. So people like that, they tend to, they have a alignment of the stars, their solar, their sun is right opposite their Uranus. Usually this kind of configuration, this kind of configuration bring people a lot of, you know, nervous energy actually in their mind. So they tend to think a lot, you know, and
and
that could give you the anxiety, but go to the ocean and it will heal you.
Yeah. But it's because I'm a horrible swimmer.
Oh, you were born on the 13th.
13th.
Ah, me too.
Yeah. May? No.
No, I was born on July the 13th.
July.
Yeah.
Okay.
So 13 is an interesting number. Yeah.
Why?
Because it's very funny because you were born May the 13th. Right?
Yeah. So my head started in the 13th. My legs finished on 14th.
So you were born at the very end of 13, like midnight.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah.
But when you completely, you came out, that's
14. That's Monday 14th.
14th, I see. So yeah. That's very interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Mm. The water breaks on 13th. Yeah. Yeah. My mom was really specific, like explaining what's happened.
It
was
okay.
Like, yeah, it was like a story. Yeah.
Okay. Kind of that's like, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so that's basically my feelings here. About
so how people can find you?
Usually people find me on Google. So they just Google, for example, if they want to find me, they can Google Hong Kong Tarot, or Hong Kong Astrologer, Hong Kong Spiritual Counselor, and they will find me right away.
Yeah, I'll put some more descriptions.
Sure. Yeah.
For everybody.
Yeah. And I'm sure everyone knows how to find you.
Yeah, that's how they can find me.
Yeah, I'm sure they know how to find you. Did you?
Do you wanna share something like general for 2020 before we finish?
Right. Okay. Sure.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, you know, of course, you know, obviously, it's very difficult to give a so-called prediction for everyone because everyone is different, right, in their life path. But there's one very interesting thing happening.
Can you just do for a human being? Are we still alive? Yes, we will. We will.
Of course.
Hong Kong. Yeah.
See,
yeah.
2020. There's a very.
Or you can do difference like 2019 and 2020. I don't.
Oh, sorry, not 20. 2020. Yeah. 2020, actually, there's a very interesting phenomenon in astrology. Saturn and Pluto and Jupiter, these three planets are all transiting in the same sign called Capricorn. And this happens very, very rare, to be honest. The last time Saturn and Pluto were in the same sign was like more than 20 years ago, actually. I think it was, more than 20 years, 20, 27 or 28 years ago. So this is actually a very rare thing. And the Capricorn is a sign of empire building. Okay?
What?
Empire building. So okay. building your own empire.
Okay.
Business, okay? Discipline, goal setting. So usually people, when they go through this, you know, period of time, there's a lot of career changes and you know, epiphany, understanding when it comes to how to build the so-called their empire. Now for everyone, this is the empire could mean different things. For most people, it could be their career, their own company. For some other people, this could be maybe about if they're students, this could be about how to actually build their study, you know. And because Capricorn is a sign that needs a lot of hard work. So it's not it's not about luck, it's about hard work, and you have to, you know, like really, you know, plow your way through. So and Jupiter is the planet of luck. Okay, Saturn is the planet of discipline, and Pluto is the sign of depth. So you can imagine if all these three kind of energies squash together in Capricorn, this is saying that your luck will come through what? Through your discipline and your depths, how deep you delve into what you want to build.
Yeah,
Saturn, Pluto also is a planet of transformation, change. You know, Pluto. The Greek name of Pluto is Hades, so the god of the underworld. Now Hades always tells us to let go of a previous chapter, let go of something, say goodbye to the old us, and then we can actually opening something new and understand, okay, there's a new me there, and I'm welcoming a new form of me, a new chapter. So it's a very intense time actually in 2020, but when we are successfully go through this, Jupiter will reward us with a lot of beautiful things in the future.
Yeah.
that's my that's what I always say.
Yeah. No, thank you so much.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I will add more information about you.
Okay.
And then maybe we will can set up some session in the future.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.